You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca, Alberta's only regulated online gambling website. Use the promo code, and you get a new one every month, Greger50, and you'll get a free $50 play only at PlayAlberta.ca.
Oh, I am better than the Oilers. I can tell you that. Yeah. Their defensive play, their goaltending, it's, I don't know if you heard the numbers, 2.63 goals against 5-on-5 Rupper. Like, there's some teams that will be like 2.7 goals total against. The Oilers are 2.63 5-on-5, and it's been like a comedy of errors. I don't know if you watched the first period or not last night at Washington, but Brett Kulak played three shifts and was on the ice for three goals. His first three shifts, they scored on every shift. On the first one, he's going back for a puck. The second one, loses a battle. On the other one, Tom Wilson comes out of the corner. He's in front of Wilson. He lets Wilson get positioned down low. He has his stick off the ice, doesn't cover his stick. It's a tap home rebound goal for Wilson. Third goal, he didn't really have much of a play on. You know, it's the end of his shift. He looked a little tired, okay. But, like, he is – how about this, Rupper? Are you sitting down? In the month of November, he's played 10 games. He's been outscored 15-0, 5-on-5.
Oh, man. Those are tough numbers. I mean, what do you say to that? In the first goal of the game, because I was sitting there in the goaltending, I know this has been a thing that everyone is talking about, and that is a problem. It certainly is a problem with both guys, but it doesn't just stop there, and I don't think you're saying that as well. I mean, they're not doing a lot of things in front of the goalies either, and even on the first goal, it's just when you have layers of error on plays, that's where it becomes troublesome, because you should have layers in your team. You can get beat on a play, and then that's where you have another layer of somebody else backing you up or having a goaltender make a save. But right now, Edmonton's not getting any of those. Like, the first goal, the Protas tap in, it was the same thing. You had two Washington Capitals players on the glass, and if you fast forward about 3 seconds, those two guys are alone in front of the net together. So, like, you know, when that shot kind of comes in, that's a bad rebound for Stuart Skinner to give up, but yeah, it's also some bad play in front of him. So I don't know where you go from here. I mean, this is the wrong time, too. This is a nasty trip. Nasty trip that they're on. I mean, the fact that they got to be right back at it here tonight. You just want this over, but you got to start seeing something here. And there's so many layers to their lapses that I don't know if they're going to be okay. I really don't.
Yeah. Well, it's one that I know that not historically, but just at least the last three seasons, he has been, the orders have started slow. So I get it. So, you know, maybe it's in their DNA, whatever. Maybe there's a part.
Well, let me ask you this. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt you there, because this came up the other day and I was like, all right, we keep revisiting that. And you correct me, and some of your listeners would probably be able to tell me better. Am I forgetting, like, has it been this bad? Like, has it been this bad? I know there's been coaching changes. It's been bad, but has it looked this lost that we're seeing right now? That's a genuine question.
Yeah, it's a fair point. I went through it. It's been different, right? Like, last year, their penalty kill was like 60%.
Yeah.
They were getting absolutely destroyed there. Their goals against, because I looked at it, actually, funny enough, I was looking at their 5-on-5. Last year, through 22 games, they gave up, this year they've given up 58 goals 5-on-5. Last year was 46. The difference was all the extra goals against came on 5-on-5. So was it as ugly as this? Not 5-on-5, but in other elements it was. So it's different, but at the end of the day, Rupper, it's kind of the same result, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're not playing well. And you got a lot of guys who aren't playing well. And, you know, like, the Oilers, I don't think – I'd have to look. I don't think they've given up this many goals overall, but I think it's close, right? Like, it's just – their 5-on-5 play right now is the worst in the NHL.
Yeah, and that's no place to – that's the worst one to have. And so you could live with and you could deal with, you say, at 60% PK. Like, eventually you can kind of start – kicking at that, making those numbers climb.
Yeah.
I mean, the game is 5-on-5, and this is a team that usually isn't this bad in that. They're actually pretty strong 5-on-5 in past seasons. It's just not the case right now.
No, it is pretty ugly. I'm looking at the orders. Well, last year their offense wasn't as proficient as they are now. But last year through 22 games, they had 24 points, right? They're 11-9-2. But I do agree with you. Like, they've only got four regulation wins this year, right?
Yeah.
They've, you know, they've been relying on some extra time. Now they had four extra time wins last year at this time. So there's not much difference really overall, except there's like, they're giving up more goals, but they're scoring more goals. So that kind of evens it out. Last year at this time, their penalty kill was 70%. Their power play was only 15%, funny enough, in their first 22 games. And then it woke up. So you look and say, well, geez, their power play is really good. It's not going to get any better, right? It's 30%. So they won't improve there. Their penalty kill is pretty good. It all comes down to 5-on-5, which is the majority of the game. So you do bring up a valid point. It's easier maybe to fix like the short areas of, hey, power play eventually will show up. And it did. But the 5-on-5 play is a bigger time of the game. And when I look at the Oilers and just their willingness right now, Rupper, to make the game too easy for the opposition, I found has shown up on a fairly consistent basis.
So, I mean, this is the exact same thing you're saying, but in different words. They're too easy to play against. They're not hard enough to play against.
Yeah.
And that is such a used phrase in hockey, but it's so valuable because it can look 100 different ways. Like there's guys that are very difficult to let me think of an example in the league. Guys that are difficult to play against that are not physical. I'm not talking about in your own right, whatever your own way of your skill set is, be difficult to play against in those situations. You're thinking of like a great skating. Here's one I'll just use from when I played, and he still plays in the league now. Like a Jared Spurgeon from the Minnesota Wild. He's a teammate of mine. He was so difficult to play against because he was so smart. And you get him in the corner, and that was usually my bread and butter because I was so big. He was hard to play because he would strike at the right time, very intellectual. He'd get under your hands. He understood that he wasn't going to win the physical battle, so he had to win the brains battle, and he certainly did that. It doesn't have to be a certain way. When I say hard to play against, doesn't mean you got to run guys through the board. Just battle for pucks. Be smart. If you're not that big, well, then you better use some other attribute to be difficult to play against. Make a better read. Anticipate. Stop in and start. Anything you want to get in the way. I mean, these are all certain attributes that I don't think this team is bringing right now. And I go back to, and it's probably a moot point to bring up because the guys aren't there anymore. But there are guys that over the last couple of years that have been very difficult to play against that are not there any longer. So now all of a sudden, if you're a new guy there, like you've got to pick up that slack. Who's going to be that guy for this Oilers team? No one's claimed it yet.
No. I look at their team and they just, you know, it's on a different night, it's different things. That's the problem, right? It's not like, okay, there's one guy. Like Brett Kulak, ever since he came to Edmonton, has been like Mr. Reliable, not flashy. Yeah. Right, just third pair, number five defenseman. Sometimes it can be a number four defenseman, plays big minutes, really reliable. No one ever complained about him. 10 games, he's allowed being on the ice for 15 goals against. Like, it's incredibly bad. Mattias Ekholm's not having a good year defensively. Jake Walman not having a good year defensively. I'd probably have to be better off to list the guys who have been good defensively, and I'm not even sure there's a list that I would put on that one. You got guys, defensive turnovers, Drysdale, McDavid, Ekholm, but guys are on like career high pace right now, which isn't good. And then, you know, their fourth line and third line did contribute two goals. I know Nurse was one, but it was with the third line, and then the fourth line scored a goal. Those are their first two goals of the month last night, right? So it's an entire team effort, Rupper, and maybe that's good because you can't really have half your groom saying, geez, I'm playing really well. This is great. And the other guys aren't. This is one. So how do you get out of it? Like, what has to happen here? Like, because you can't just keep saying, well, we're a slow starting team. Like, somebody got to rile up. Does somebody got to get in someone's face here? What has to happen inside that room?
Yeah, you've got to have. I always found in these situations, I've been in them before, and it stinks where it's at this point, it's the players. And there's nothing a coach can say that hasn't been said already. And Chris Knobloch, he's a good coach. This doesn't change that. But sometimes it's just the players getting on the same page, just almost just looking each other in the eye and just expecting more out of each other. So we know when you go out there, things were said to each other and maybe the right way, where now if you're taking shortcuts or you're not doing those things, now you can lean into each other and keep each other accountable even more. But I think it just starts with that, just to compete. It's not going to change overnight. Not one thing is going to change, and all of a sudden this thing go the right way. You just need something to go your way. And honestly, that could be a goaltending performance. How about win a game that you don't deserve to win, but your goaltender makes those saves? We see that on a night-to-night basis in the NHL, but we haven't been seeing that here for the Edmonton Oilers, per se. But on the other side, too, you can argue, hey, why don't we not have these types of breakdowns? Like, we are able to score goals, but keeping the puck out of our net, like, you got to set little goals for yourself, for your line. And I think these things just being talked about with the players is going to go a lot further than with the coaching staff right now.
Mike Rupp joins us. Rupper, Bedard, Celebrini, something that hadn't happened since 1944. 20-year-old and younger, two of them each had a hat trick on the same night. The Chicago Blackhawks, Spencer Knight has been unreal for the Blackhawks, Rupper. Are you like, I know it's still early in the season, and there's lots of teams in the running this year maybe that we haven't seen, you know, this many teams within 2 or 3 points yet, but what do you make of the Blackhawks? Like, you know, they're 6-2-2 now in their last 10. They're sitting with 24 points in 19 games. They're playing 6.32 points percentage hockey, which would be better than every team in the Pacific except the Ducks. Like, when do we have to start maybe considering that Chicago might be a playoff contender?
I think that when the next 20 games, when you get to the 40-game mark, I think it's a good litmus test. But they've been awesome. They've been phenomenal. I mean, you talk about a team that is competing in a way that they have not competed last year. I mean, they showed flashes at different times, but they're battling back in games. They're never out in hockey games right now. I mean, it starts from the top. It starts with a guy like Connor Bedard, and we've talked about it. Literally every category, every analytic is up for this guy. And I think a lot of it revolves around his skating. He's put the work in. He's hounding pucks. And I don't know. I mean, I'm not inside that room, but if he's taking it to another level, it kind of drags the rest of the team. That's at least what I found playing with superstars. But this is a team that maybe sometimes it's just you want respect. And I don't think I've given them very much respect as far as an organization last couple of years. It's been pretty rough watching the Chicago Blackhawks. And for whatever it is, I don't know what to put the finger on it exactly. But what I do know, they're a different team in the way they battle out there and compete. And they can score some goals. And they're getting great goaltending. You mentioned Spencer Knight. I mean, that's been one of the best surprises this year in the National Hockey League. What he's doing is awesome. That's why they get him and sign him to that extension, where a lot of people, I think, were scratching their head because he hasn't played a lot of hockey prior to getting that. But it's showing that was a really good move by the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah. Well, that trade, like, I know a lot of people thought, hey, you know what? Look at Seth Jones. Teams will take on salary, whatever. They got Spencer Knight in return. Right, like, it wasn't like you just gave up Seth Jones and, yeah, Chicago's eating $2 million of his salary for the next, I think it's 3 seasons. But you also got Spencer Knight.
Yeah.
And you know, other attributes. Spencer Knight right now is one of the top goalies in the league. Probably a guy who deserves to be on Team USA the way he's playing right now. So it's not like you just got a throw-in player with this. You got a legit starting goalie, and those guys are worth a lot.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, to have your franchise goaltender, and that's what we're seeing right now, in that trade and signed and locked up. And here's the other thing, locked up before he's looked like this. So you got him at a rate that if he continues to play like this, you're going to have an absolute steal in Spencer Knight and what he's making. So I love that type of stuff. And here's the big thing, too. This team has had a ton of talent. And the dangerous part that I thought looking at them was having so much talent but no identity and maybe structure and how you're supposed to play. That's a scary place to be in the NHL because it can go either way. But now they established that. So you're starting to see players develop. You're starting to see them do the right things, make the right decisions. I think the future is really bright, where if you rewound this 3 months ago, I would probably have been like, I don't know. I mean, this can go either way. Right now, it looks pretty good for the Chicago Blackhawks in the next few years.
Yeah, really good. Rupper, always good to catch up with you, buddy. We will chat with you on the rundown tomorrow.
Awesome, buddy. Enjoy.